Well, good morning, and as we come towards the end of our series, let's just do a quick recap on where we've been over the last few weeks. We've seen a beloved son who was rejected by his family, was sent to live in a foreign place. He was a servant who suffered wrongful imprisonment, but who rose to glory unexpectedly, and now saves his people and brings them to new life in him. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Because, of course, we've also seen how Joseph is this portrait of Christ. And today we're seeing the next installment in our story. And there's three things that I would like to pick out today. Firstly, we see Joseph as a man who had integrity and who had kindness. He proved himself to be a wise man, a good man, in both his private life and his public life. Joseph introduced his father to Pharaoh. He didn't just move them into Egypt, but he actually came and brought them before Pharaoh. He showed respect to this man who had put him in the position where he was. And Pharaoh rewards this. He gives them a land, the land of Goshen, which is suitable for their skills. They're shepherds. And they can't be shepherds in Canaan because the pasture has all gone because of the famine. So he provides for them in Goshen. And we see that Jacob is actually living a relatively comfortable life, especially when compared to the Egyptians around. They're starving, but he has been provided for. God promised us as Christians a land. We will be provided for. And that land will be perfect for us. And we get that land because of the work of Jesus, not because of anything that we do ourselves. Because everything that we have been given, we have not deserved. Just in the same way that Joseph's brothers did not deserve to go and live in Goshen. The kindness that they received, they didn't earn. Think of the unkindness that the brothers had shown them. Unimaginable unkindness. They were mean, they were despicable, and yet Joseph owned them. They were his family. His integrity was so great that he passes on the blessings that he has received to this family that he has. And as Christians, we are Jesus' brothers and sisters. And he will present us to his Father without being ashamed of us. No matter what we have done, he forgives all the past. And once he's moved his family into Goshen, he then gets back to his work. He doesn't just abandon the rest of Egypt because his family is there. He goes back to his work that he's been called to. And he does that work with integrity as well. As we've just been hearing in our reading, all that has been stored up, all the grain that has been stored up during the good times is now distributed. And it may not come across as such, but actually this is a really good deal that the people are being given. People around the time would have starved to death if they were in this kind of famine. So the fact that Joseph was able to provide for them and find more and more ways that he was able to provide for them is an incredible thing. And after our reading, we also hear later on in the passage that once the famine is over, the people have nothing, but Pharaoh, through Joseph, gives them seed. And he asks only for 1/5 of that seed back. A tiny amount for so much. And this again points to Jesus. Jesus only asks us for a small amount. And yet he promises us so much in return. Secondly, we have the idea of pilgrimage. In our passage today, just before our passage, in verse 4 of chapter 47, we see the brothers as they come. They're not thinking of settling in Egypt. This is not going to be their new homeland. But it's only while the famine in Canaan is happening. Verse 9 shows us this even more strongly. When Jacob is introduced to Pharaoh, he describes his life as a pilgrimage. He's a stranger in the world, a traveler from another place. This earth is his inn, it's not his home. And he even thought this way in Canaan as well. And the events that we saw in our drama from chapter 48, again, this makes it even clearer. All of the activities that we saw happening, all of the things that he was asking, are pointing them towards the promised land. He made Joseph promise to bury him in the promised land, not because it was the land of his birth, not because he was sentimental for his own home, but because that was the land of promise that God was going to give to his family. And that land pointed to the eternal promised land that all believers would inherit. And when he adopts Manasseh and Ephraim, Jacob is passing on this blessing to them. The blessing given to him, he is passing on to them. They were born in Egypt, and with their father presumed dead, it seemed as if they'd been cut off from the inheritance of Jacob. But Jacob now shows that that inheritance is theirs as well. He wanted them to be certain that they would not inherit their father's power and influence in Egypt, but they inherited the promise made to Abraham, which was more valuable by far. They should look to Egypt as their home and not incorporate themselves with the Egyptians. They should find their family with the people of God. And we can see even now that there are clear contrasts between the Israelites and the Egyptians. Jacob and his family didn't know that there was a famine coming, but when it did come, they went to Egypt for help, and they were fed at no cost to themselves. The Egyptians, however, they did know that the famine was coming. They had been warned, and yet their preparations were useless. They didn't follow Joseph's warnings. They ended up with no bread. They fainted and were ready to die. During the good times, they'd hoarded up money and cattle and land. And when the famine came, they had to give it all up, and they were left with nothing. So they even had to give up their own freedom. They should have heeded the advice that was given to them by Joseph and saved seed and not the money. So all of Jacob's acts, the last acts that we are told about, remind Joseph and his sons that God's way is better than anything that Egypt has to offer them. And we know the rest of the story. This generosity from the Egyptians wasn't going to be lasting forever. People would be ill-treated in Egypt. And so this message is even more important for those future generations who would be ill-treated. They should not love Egypt too much when it favored them, nor should they fear it too much when it persecuted them, because Egypt was not their true home. It's more worthwhile to embrace disgrace and poverty, which would await them, than to have worldly wealth. It would be better to be called by the name of poor Jacob than rich Joseph. And we too, as Christians, are pilgrims. This age is not our home. We should be thinking about how we align ourselves, who we align ourselves with in our day-to-day lives. What do our actions show about our priorities? It's better to be low and in the church than to be high and out of it. Have we embraced this world too much, forgetting that as Christians, our home and the blessings that go with that home are not of this world? Perhaps we need to take stock and think about whether our lives show that we are called by the name of poor Jacob or rich Joseph. And finally, as our dramas have been telling us all the way through this series, God had a plan. We see Jacob for an old man, a shepherd, standing before the rich, powerful Pharaoh. What does he do? Does he prostrate himself, fall to the ground? No, he doesn't. Jacob blesses Pharaoh. And that shows that Jacob thinks that he is greater than Pharaoh. And why would he think that? Well, through worldly eyes, Pharaoh was the greater. He was the one with all of the power. And yet in God's eyes, Jacob was the one who was greater. Jacob had the authority of prophet, of a patriarch. He had God's authority behind him. And God's plan was greater than Pharaoh's plan by far. Even the very fact that Jacob's dying words are recorded for us show that they're spoken in a spirit of prophecy. When he crossed his hands and blessed the wrong son, he was prophesying the future when Ephraim, the younger son, would be more numerous and more powerful than Manasseh, the older. And this is a pattern that happens a lot through the Old Testament. We see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, all of them elevated above their older brothers. The wrong person chosen. So God often uses the wrong person, the weak things of the world, the least likely to achieve his aims. And it's possible that this is also a reflection of Jews and Gentiles. Jews seen as the older brother, Gentiles as the younger. Well, Gentiles have become more numerous. And we see that salvation, therefore, is by grace, not by birthright. So throughout the account of Joseph, we have seen that God has this plan in place. Joseph being sold into slavery seemed like at the end of the story. And yet it meant that the whole of his family, and in fact the whole of Egypt, would be nourished during this time of famine. Jacob and Joseph give God all the credit for their fortunes. The things they saw were beyond their wildest dreams. Joseph, when he was dragged to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, or when he was sitting in that prison, his dreams would probably have been about staying alive and possibly being freed. But God allowed him to have a family, to have status in Egypt. And when Jacob was mourning for his son, he was probably just dreaming that somehow he might see Joseph again, but not really believing that it would ever happen. But God allowed Jacob not just to see Joseph again, but to also meet his grandchildren. God outdid their expectations. As we heard at the end of our drama from Poppy, God's plan would carry on, God's people would grow, and God would be their shepherd. And one day, one of Jacob's descendants would be born in Bethlehem, Jesus, the Saviour of the world. Jesus has enabled us to be adopted by the Father, as we have been hearing in our Ephesians series. And this means that we too have the blessings of an inheritance. We only see in part, but the plans that God has for us are beyond our imaginations. We see through a glass darkly, but he sees all, and he will lead us, his people, to the promised land when the time is right. So we see Joseph, the picture of Jesus, who presents his brothers and sisters to the Father, who provides for them now, but even more so in the new creation, who offers blessings that are beyond anything that the world can offer. And that's the Jesus that we worship here today.